Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for some turkey, King?
Oh, yeah, I am ready. I
gobble,
like turkey.
Gobble.
I'm a turkey guy, turkey fan over here.
You know?
Sign me up for some nice dark meat turkey.
Too many people are out on turkey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the hip thing. It's like, oh, Dane Cook's not funny. Limp Bizkit doesn't have a bunch of heaters. I don't like turkey.
Oh, I
wrong!
Hate, oh, I hate 311.
Well, no, we're all
agreement on that, I think. Yeah, they do have
a couple good ones. I'll give them a few spins. I'll be honest. Yeah, it's like the in vogue thing. Like, oh, I have ham now. It's like, right. It's Thanksgiving. Have a turkey.
Live a turkey.
A little.
Yeah. Oh, it's too dry. Try some dark meat.
It's too dry. Then you're not cooking it right.
Put some gravy on it.
Yeah, dump a lot of gravy on it. The dark meat's never dry.
Only wet.
I'm going to
No, that's not. Maybe. If a turkey's that good.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. But no, who doesn't love Thanksgiving?
Tis
the season.
I enjoy it. Now, yeah. Greg seemed a little worried about traffic. People are worried about traffic already.
I flew in today.
Same.
Everyone's like hibernating right now. There's nobody
well,
out
let me,
there.
Let me tell you, if the attendance in this office
that's just
is any indication, I understand why I flew in.
Greg and Shime are the only ones left in the morning.
It was a
ghost town in this very room.
On the air.
That's it. No, yeah, they were gone.
Ghost town in morning drive.
Wiggy was never here.
Where's everybody at?
Courtney comes by, very nice of her, on her way out. She's like, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I'm like, oh, it must be 9:55. It was like 9:40.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
No, right. It was 9:28.
Well, it was 9:28.
And to her credit, at least she was here.
That's true. No, she was here.
Empty Tom came down. Real life Tom came
down. Real life Tom. College
Tom.
He'll always be college Tom to me.
He's like, you want to come down and do the crossover with Greg? He's like, no one's left.
And by crossover, I mean the last segment.
he's like, no one's here.
Yeah.
The whole show's gone.
I told him about the Jackson 5. I told him about some of the contributions he's made to the show. He seemed like a proud papa.
We got some late night Jackson texts that I am ready to
bracing for
where Jackson 5 goes today.
That'd be good. No, I'm looking forward to that.
But a Thanksgiving edition. Thanksgiving Eve.
We think.
Edition of Jones and Keefe. We think what?
We think it's Thanksgiving related. We'll see. Yeah. Jackson can kind of go any which way but loose with
it. Look, we gave the man carte blanche. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to be a Jackson 5 for you. At 1 o'clock. Keith, I don't even know if you can handle how jam-packed this show is.
It's like a stuffed turkey.
Now, we have been telling you for a while, the new season of Traitors is out. Keith has wanted to apply to the show Traitors.
I desperately want to be on this show.
So Keith will apply today.
Yes. I've always wanted to be a reality TV star. I auditioned for The Real World in 2006. Didn't get it.
Sick brag, bro.
Didn't get it. Got a call back from MTV, though. That's not
call
nothing.
Back.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah, it's probably like some intern who called like a million different people, but I did get a call from MTV.
I bet they didn't call everybody. You think they called every single person?
Probably not.
I bet not.
I answered the phone. I was like, hello. They're like, hello, this is MTV. They're like, you have not made it.
I was like, ah, damn. Oh, that's what they did in the callback?
No. They were like, oh, we're doing something different. They're like, you got to submit this other thing, but like, we saw your first first application.
You got waitlisted.
Basically. Waitlisted.
Yeah, I understand how that goes.
I did not get in.
I applied to colleges. Yeah. I know how that goes. They're like, we like your stuff.
Sick brag, bro.
We like your stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't get in, but we like what you're working with over there.
Awful thin envelope to say that I've been accepted to the school. That was a nightmare. But anyway, yeah, so there's that because I wanted to be on the Real World. I wanted to be on the challenge. That ship has sailed. I'm now in my 40s. But this Trader show is right up my alley. This is a whodunit. You have a bunch of people that are the quote-unquote traitors. They're the killers. Then you have a bunch of the faithful. They live in a giant castle in Scotland. Alan Cumming's the host. It's a great, a legitimately great show. I don't know what the next season's going to be like. That's the one with Travis Kelce's mom. It's all like pseudo-celebrities.
Yeah.
But now they're opening it up to a normies. They're like, hey, we just want non-celebrities.
So you're gonna
which
be
is where I come into play.
You're going to be in the normie season.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Well,
so I got to apply.
The application is coming your way today. We will also be getting to some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday. That's at 11:30. We have the hashtag Dork Minute, 11:45. Pure Hoops with Terp today.
Oh, that's right.
At high noon, early Celtics game, 5 o'clock.
That's a big
Thanksgiving
tilt.
Eve.
Are you sure Terp's going to be here at noon? He's not going to be over there at the Garden?
Well, he may have to leave early. We'll see. But that's at high noon and a Kiefer Madness for you today as well. Plus, as we mentioned, Jackson 5. So a loaded, loaded show for you today. You can jump in line 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there, subscribe to WEEI. You heard Craig Breslow off the top there, Keith, discussing the Sonny Gray trade.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, he used a bunch of terms in there, buying in on...
he always uses really long words.
He does, but some of the stuff I can wrap my head around, back-to-back 200 strikeout seasons, things like that.
Speaking my language.
We've had interest in him going back. I think you'll hear in a later answer, they had some discussions, it sounds like, at the trade deadline. Never mind, early on in the offseason, this was a player they identified. However, with Sonny Gray in the mix, and I think you said yesterday, and a lot of people, I think, have come out and kind of wrapped their heads around it this way. I think you were early on this.
Thank you.
He's a Giolito upgrade. He's not their number two. And if he is the number two starter, that's going to be a problem. He's slotted in, hopefully, behind Brian Baio. And as a Giolito replacement, they, I would think, would be looking bigger than that in the rotation. Joe Ryan should still be in play, not Joe Nathan.
Nope.
Among other trades out there, whether it's Mackenzie Gore,
Schoble
would be super high-end,
obviously. I think it's all
Hunter Green, names like this.
Okay? I think it's a combination. I think it's Giolito's spot in the rotation, but it's Walker Buehler's spot in free agency a year ago.
It's his money.
Yeah, it's his money.
Walker Buehler's money.
Yeah. And so when they signed Walker Buehler last year, he was a part of a much bigger offseason. You know, they brought in Bregman and Crochet. Then they gave Crochet the big extension. So they traded a really good prospect in order to get Garrett Crochet. Then they signed to a big extension. They gave Alex Bregman a lot of average annual money. They gave Aroldis Chapman decent closer money or setup man money at the time. We didn't know if he was going to even be the closer. But then also in there was a decent contract to Walker Buehler. And I was like, all right, he can be your number two or number three. And he wasn't. Like, so he better not be Walker Buehler on the field. But I'm just saying, like, what they did last year in free agency, it could play out the same way. So if you last year did the order differently, say they signed Bregman first, traded for Crochet, then got Chapman, then got Walker Buehler, nobody'd be like, Walker Buehler, right? So, like, same with this. Like, if this free agency or this offseason goes differently, and then we look back and we're like, oh, Sonny Gray's the fourth best player they added?
Look, the order really matters, but it's under a microscope now.
Yeah, of course.
My fear all along has been, do they view him as a number two starter? And if he is their number two starter, what does that mean? Now, Breslow was asked this specifically on his Zoom call last night, breaking down the trade.
I think this is a good answer.
You do?
I do. Well, play it.
Let's play.
I think it's good.
Here it is.
I don't know how much sense it makes in November to put a number on a guy. I think Sonny is a very talented major league pitcher. You know, the seasons that he's put up pretty consistently indicate that to be the case. That said, you know, we still intend to improve our team, and exactly what that looks like, we don't know right now, but we'll continue to explore opportunities and figure out where that takes us.
Okay, you like that. Like,
yeah, I do. So he was a week or two ago said they want a co-ace with Crochet or like a number two.
Do you want the exact quote? I have the exact quote.
Sure.
Starting pitching, in particular someone we feel like we could start alongside or slot in behind Garrett Crochet to start a playoff game for us. Because the depth we built over the last couple of years, we feel pretty good about starting pitchers number 3 through 10.
Uh-huh.
That's not to take away from the guys who are currently here. It's just to say, I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time trying to add a number four or five starter. If we're going to make a starting pitching addition, it should be somebody who can pitch on the front of the rotation and start a playoff game for us. So he kind of already had assigned numbers to pitchers. Now he's like, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to assign numbers.
Because he doesn't view him as a number two. He's not saying he's that guy.
But he said earlier this offseason, we shouldn't add a number four or five.
No. He just said we're not going to like waste our time. But like, okay, it's before Thanksgiving you made this move. You still have a long time to go. This might have fell into place. You're talking to Heim Bloom. He kind of knows the system probably pretty well. You go through and you're like, all right, we'll take this guy. They're trying to salary dump in St. Louis. They're going full Heim Bloom makeover. They just want to get a bunch of young prospects probably. But it makes no sense for him. When he knows that he's not a co-ace, he knows that. He's not even a number two starter probably anymore. A couple years ago he was, but he's getting older.
Yeah, he was an all-star in 2023.
He was a Cy Young candidate 2 years ago with Minnesota, but he probably isn't that anymore. But you just brought the guy in. It makes zero sense to just say no. Like, hey, is he your number two starter? No, he isn't. Because you're just ripping the guy for no reason.
Okay, well, I don't disagree with that.
But he also didn't say he is. So that makes me feel like, good, that means that you're going to still try to get somebody that is.
But he didn't. The comment he made earlier is coming back to bite him, though, when he's like, we don't need to add pitchers 3 through 10. We need a guy who can start alongside Garrett Crochet, and then you add this guy.
Yeah, but I think they kind of did need to add pitchers 3 through 10 a little bit because...
Okay, but that's not what he said.
No,
I mean, if you disagree with that, that's fine, but that, what he said is, we don't need that. We're not going to waste our time on a 4 or 5, and they added a 4 or 5.
I just think
the older comment is coming back to bite him with that comment right there.
Right, but I guess he could have just said, like, yeah, he is the number 2 guy. But he knows that he's not, so he won't lie about that. But he's also not going to rip the player that he just acquired.
You have no concerns he's the number two starter? And is that a technicality because Bayo's the number two starter?
No. I mean, I know what you mean. Like, I think they're both... Now, most pitchers in the league are a giant step below Garrett Crochet. So there is already that. I think Sonny Gray could have a really good season. Like, Giolito honestly had a really good season last year. It was the first time he was pretty much able to stay healthy. I know he got hurt at the end, but he had a good season. I think he could probably duplicate that. Remember, there was a stretch there where we were looking at it and saying, Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito were 3 of the 10 best American League starters for months.
By ERA, they were. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Sonny Gray can do that, but I still think they're going to get somebody else. Or at the very least, I think they're going to really pursue it. I don't think they're going to say, all right, all set, guys, we got our pitcher.
Okay, so
that'd be like last year stopping at Walker Buehler.
I would be 100% on board with that. That would be great. Like, in a vacuum, I like the Sonny Gray addition. But what does it mean? Are they going to still spend and add pitching? Are they going to add a bat? Can they add both? Because I think they still need both. They need a pitcher better than Sonny Gray, and they still need bats. If they do all that, I'm going to love the Sonny Gray trade.
Yeah.
If this is a way to cheap out on paying another starter or to cut corners on the bat you're eventually going to spend on, then I don't like it as much. So I agree. We don't know the complete picture yet. But to me... they need to add another pitcher and still a bat.
But does this also allow you to...
Or two more big signings. Let me rephrase. It could be two bats with Sonny Gray, and I'd get on board with it.
Okay.
It could be a pitcher and a bat, and I'd get on board with it.
Yeah.
I like the move in a vacuum, but a lot more work needs to be done. They can't dust their hands and be like, we have a number two starter.
No, I don't think they are. Otherwise, I think he would have answered those questions a little bit different yesterday. You could have pointed to like, hey, last time he was in the American League, he was a runner-up in the Cy Young.
He was.
200 strikeouts each of the last 2 years. We think his stuff, this, that, and the other thing, like he could have talked it up that way, but he's not. And that's why I think that they're not done. I think it also allows for somebody like Mackenzie Gore or somebody else that maybe doesn't have the full track record, but they feel like there's a big upside. And it's like, all right, we have a pretty high floor guy in Sonny Gray. Like, we're pretty safe with
now
Gray.
We can take a shot on Mackenzie Gore.
Take a shot right, there. Well, look, I would now your rotation that. Looks pretty dangerous.
And I would feel a lot better about Mackenzie Gore, who I was nervous about if that was the only pitching move they made, like a ball of clay, high upside guy. Mm-hmm. But now you're right. You have a high floor guy. You have him. You take a shot on Gore. If it doesn't work, you're protected because of Sonny Gray. That kind of move I could definitely get behind. Now, here's the issue. Number one, Sonny Gray, the last time he was in the AL East pitching for the Yankees in a big market, it went horribly. We talked about this yesterday. He was a trade deadline acquisition for the Yankees. His only full year with New York, his ERA approached 5. He's also been terrible at Fenway. I think he's made, off the top of my head, it was 6 starts and 7 appearances or 7 starts. His ERA was in the 6s.
7!
So, like...
Okay.
I don't love what those things point to. However,
yeah, that's tough.
Honestly, in the American League, he's been a pretty good pitcher. He was good in Oakland. He was good in Minnesota. It was bad in New York, but it's not like, and this has changed anyway with the universal DH, but it's not like he was just a guy who succeeded in the NL and he hasn't had any success in the American League. He has had it. And I think he's a guy who definitely punches people out. I think he's a guy who you can feel pretty good knowing what you're going to get. I don't think there's a lot of upside there. He's 36. Injury's always, I guess, something that you have to factor in. But he gives you innings. He punches people out. And I think if you're looking at him as a three or a four, you know, not your number two,
yeah,
I think that's a really good add.
4.15 career ERA versus the Yankees, 2.91 career ERA versus the Blue Jays. Now, I know it's a lot of different guys and things like that, but still, just talking about like AL East competition.
That's proof it can work in the AL East.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Chris Cotillo had a couple of items here that I don't love to read.
Oh, no.
He said it's November 25th.
Wow, so that's terrible.
This was yesterday.
That's the first bad sign.
It's now November 26th.
Yeah, true.
There's a ton of winter left. The market has barely moved. With that said, early indications from sources. Red Sox are shifting their attention to an impact bat at this juncture while not ruling out further pitching additions as the offseason continues. He followed up with, the early sense is adding Sonny Gray makes the Red Sox less likely to pursue another big-name starting pitcher with their focus being on adding a bat to the lineup. Well, so it's not ruled out,
okay. But
it is less likely. This is from talking to people around the league. They're honed in on a bat. Based on earlier reporting from Morosi and others, my guess is that bat is Alonso or Bregman, not both. And they're less likely, not out, but less likely to add another starting pitcher. If it's one bat, Keith, pick it. Alonso or Bregman with Sonny Gray, is that enough?
It feels like, to me, it does feel like an upgrade over last year, but it's still a letdown. To me, I'll take Alonso's bat over Bregman's bat, and I'll take Sonny Gray's arm over either Buehler or Giolito's arm. So I'd be like, that's an upgrade over last year's team, but there's so much more room because we were kind of sold a bill of goods that, hey, you got rid of Devers, you got rid of his entire contract, you can then be more aggressive. John Henry could still be under whatever the number he probably set in his mind because he had all this money committed. So it would be underwhelming, but I could also spin it as the team got slightly better.
But here's where I think the Devers people really have a point.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not just, well, you've upgraded on Buehler or Giolito, and Alonzo's an upgrade on Bregman. This is where you have to replace Devers.
Oh, you lost Devers and Bregman?
Anderson, Hicks. They both suck.
I mean, that was bad. But like for Alonso, as much as I like the polar bear, if you're like you have just him, and you got rid of two third basemen? Like, what is that? And now you got Marcelo Meyer probably playing out of position at third, and he's unfortunately probably going to get hurt again. So, yeah, that it would be very underwhelming, but I would I like each individual player, if that makes sense.
No, me too. I mean, if they sign Alonso, I like Alonso. Yeah. If they bring back Bregman, I really like that. The Gray move on its own, I don't care they gave up a guy who used to be the number five prospect in the system who's lost a bunch of steam. Good. I'd rather have the big league player than the dumb prospect.
If it's just Bregman, there's something about it where
it's the same team.
No, it's like worse because you're probably going to flip Duran because the outfield's crowded. So you don't even have Duran, who's obviously been up and down. But it's just the same lineup post-Devers trade? What? Yeah. Like, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. And so if you're asking me, Sonny Gray in a bat, Alonso or Bregman, are they still a playoff team? Yeah, they should still make the playoffs.
Probably. You got Crochet.
But the goal this offseason wasn't to just run it back and do what you did last year. Last year, just making the playoffs was acceptable. That made last year a successful year.
No.
This year, the goal should be higher.
Definitely. And that is Blue Jays were in the World Series.
Win a round. Make an ALCS. Get to a World Series. Win a World Series. Like, if you approach the offseason the right way, I think those are realistic goals. The goal should not be to run it back and just barely sneak into the playoffs and lose on wild card weekend or lose in the wild card round. That's not what anybody wants. 617-779-7937. What is the plan for the Red Sox now? Where will Sonny Gray ultimately slide into this rotation? Closer to Garrett Crochet or closer to the back end of the rotation? Again, you can jump in on the phones at 617-779-7937. Keith is going to apply to traders today.
Yes, help me get there.
We've been talking about it for a while.
Come on, folks.
Just missed on the real world.
So close.
So traders is in play. Would you rather Wednesday at 11:30, hashtag Dork Minute 11:45, Pure Hoops at high noon, Kiefer Madness at 12:45, and the Jackson 5 at 1 o'clock.
And a Bozo parlay.
And for the Thanksgiving games. Bozo touchdown parlay in the grab bag today as well. So stay tuned for all of it. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending. We'll get into who won the Sonny Gray trade and the grades that are coming in on that trade right after the update.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins are back in action tonight First up, the Seas will host the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are currently on a 13-game winning streak. This game is a group stage matchup in the NBA Cup tournament. Tip-off at the TD Garden is at 5 o'clock. Next, the Bees are in New York to take on the Islanders. Puck drop at the UBS Arena is at 7 o'clock. New England Patriots return to the practice field today at 1:50 to begin preparations for Monday night football matchup against the New York Giants at Gillette Stadium. Tomorrow's slate of Thanksgiving Day games can be heard right here on 93.7. Westwood One's pregame coverage begins at 12:30. The Green Bay Packers are in Detroit to play the Lions. That game kicks off at 1 o'clock, followed by the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Kansas City Chiefs at 4:30. And to close out the night, the Cincinnati Bengals will be in Baltimore to play the Ravens with a kickoff time of 8:20. And this afternoon, Boston College basketball hosts Harvard. You can hear the call of that game on WEEI AM 850. Pregame will begin at 3:45, and tip-off from Conti Forum is at 4 o'clock. At the 99 restaurants, the $14.99 Big Deal Meals start the week off right. Satisfy big appetites every Monday through Wednesday. Try the roasted turkey dinner smothered with rich gravy. For big deal meals and a great time, you gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this answer from Breslow I liked. And you liked his earlier answer, Keith. Hey, we're not going to put a number on this guy. The problem is he already did. But, you know, if you're not rewinding to what he said earlier this offseason, and he could always explain it away and say, well, yeah, I didn't think we needed a 3 through a 10. But this was such a good deal that we said, yeah, let's do the deal. And we're still looking to add a number 2. And it can all check out.
I think there's a possibility that maybe Heim Bloom is now running the Cardinals, and they're trying to dump their veteran guys with salary and look, getting prospects. His favorite thing, right? Acquiring prospects. So there's a chance before anybody even called the Cardinals are calling all these teams and being like, hey, like, would you be interested in paying half of Sonny Gray's contract? And like, what can we work on a deal? And they're like, oh, okay, sure.
Well, I was reading a Jesse Rogers at ESPN break.
Nice.
And he talked to 16 executives throughout the winter, and the Red Sox are linked to some other future players, which I was going to bring up, but he had, who is the top candidate to move this winter not named Tarik Skubal? Okay. Four players had 2 votes. Sonny Gray was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Joe Ryan, Freddie Peralta, Ketel Marte. So, look, if Ryan and Peralta move and you got Sonny Gray, that's going to stink. If neither of those guys move and Sonny Gray is the one to move, and Skubal should be on that list as well, then, you know, you probably feel better about it. But if those names are flying around and a lot of pitchers move and the best you got was Sonny Gray when a lot of pitchers moved, I would have an issue with that. But I think, to your point, the Cardinals, it was known, were shopping Sonny Gray. And I like what Breslow said there. He said, well, yeah, if I've learned anything in 2 years, when there's a deal there to be had, sometimes you just got to close.
Teams have to like our players.
Yeah, it's not that anymore. And it's not like some of the things that he's been accused of, where he's haggling too much or dragging his feet too much, or he's circling back and trying to add more to the deal. Keith, let's make it about fantasy football for a minute.
Okay.
Like, the most annoying people to make trades with are the people who you think you have a deal worked out and they try to worm like one extra thing.
Actually, what about that guy,
Let's change the terms at the last second. Yeah. It's like, no, I thought we had a deal. We had the framework for a deal.
Right.
I'm ready to go on this trade. I thought you were ready to go on this trade. Stop trying to throw in little bit pieces at the back end of the bench to make yourself feel better that probably won't matter. And I think Breslow has a reputation of that, where he's trying to like tinker with the deal at the last second when it was already agreed upon. And now he's a hard guy to work with.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, got out there, had a deal they liked. All right, Brandon Clark, some people like him. Maybe he's a high-end arm. We have other arms in the system we like better. Two of them were at the major league level in the postseason for us last year, in Toley and Early. Maybe my guy Kyle Harrison as well. Probably not. And so, you know, these are some of the arms that they have ahead of him. We have a surplus. Fine. We like Sonny Gray. Let's do the deal. And if he's really learned that lesson, and that's not just lip service, sometimes when the deal's there, you just got to close and have urgency.
Yeah.
I would applaud him for that. I think the jury's out, but that's what he's saying. And the door's open for, okay, when a deal's there to be had, maybe this guy's learned how to close.
And that's why I think one thing that he has done pretty well is the offseason, right? Like, I think where the biggest, you know, criticisms of Craig Breslow have been our trade deadlines.
Yep.
The trade deadlines have been an absolute disaster. And then obviously the Devers trade is very polarizing. Now, the Devers trade to me was more John Henry telling him, much like John Henry told Chaim Bloom, you need to trade Mookie Betts. He was told you need to trade Rafael Devers and I don't want to pay a dime to this guy. So that's kind of out of Breslow's control, I think. But you don't want to let him off the hook completely because the return was trash. Jordan Hicks couldn't pitch. No, Kyle Harrison might not be able to pitch.
The return is his fault.
Yeah. Just like Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs. Like those are horrible returns.
Correct. The decision to trade Devers goes above him.
Yeah.
And I personally think Devers had a big role in that. I don't just think it was Henry saying, let's get the contract off the books.
Yeah.
I think he was such a clown and such an a-hole and such a bad teammate.
Yeah, no, so you and I agree on that part.
Then they said, okay, get him off the team, and oh, by the way, I don't want to pay him a dollar.
Right. So that part's gone, but off seasons he's been pretty good. Extending young players that they've wanted to lock up long term, he's been great at, including Crochet. So like that part has been pretty good. And I'm not gonna fall for the trap that I did last year where for a couple weeks it was like, Aroldis Chapman's all he did in the offseason? Like, Aroldis Chapman, that's the first guy you sign? Like, what's even his role? Like, if you overreact to the first guy, then you're like, oh, you traded for Garrett Crochet and you signed Alex Bregman? Okay, that's pretty good. Like, you brought in three All-Stars last offseason? Pretty great. So if Sonny Gray is the third or maybe even in best case scenario, the fourth best player you bring in this offseason, it'd be another smash success.
How realistic is it that he's number three?
I think three is possible.
Okay.
I think four
is a pipe dream.
Four is kind of out the window, I think.
Look, if they sign two big bats,
Walker Buehler, to just once again hammer that point home, he ended up being the fourth guy they brought in last year.
It's a good point. But if they bring in two bats in addition to Gray, I would be, depending on who they are, if it's Bregman and Alonso
great.
With Gray,
I'm
love
taking
it.
That.
If it's Bregman or Alonso with Joe Ryan, I love that.
What if it's Bo Bichette and Pete Alonso?
Yeah, I mean,
and Sonny Gray. That's your offseason.
I might be able to talk myself into it.
I'll take it.
I'm aiming higher than that. You like Bichette more than I do.
Yeah. He's a hit machine.
But he's going to cost a lot of money, and we'd have to applaud the money they're spending at bare minimum.
True.
617-779-7937. I keep hearing Scooble's name as a possible trade. Why would the Tigers trade him? I'm not saying he's getting traded here.
Because they might not give him $300 million.
They're not going to pay him.
And they have to decide.
Last report? They were $350 million apart.
They're not going to pay him.
Because think about this. The Angels never traded Shohei Ohtani. Pretty dumb. Pretty dumb in hindsight.
Well, the Red Sox did trade Mookie Betts, and that was also pretty dumb.
That was definitely dumb.
So locking up the return is going to matter.
The return's paramount.
But the logic there is the same. We don't want to lose Scooble for nothing. Yeah. We're not paying him. We're miles apart. He's going to market. So it's just going to take a team meeting their asking price, whatever
that
is.
But there's a chance that you get a massive return, and maybe the guys do hit. I mean, obviously Alex Verdugo, Connor Wong, Jeter Downs didn't hit. But my favorite one, I mean, Heathcliff Slocum for Jason Varitek and Derek Lowe, or Bartolo Colon for Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, and Brandon Phillips. Like, there are crazy deals that happen sometimes, and if the Tigers aren't going to trade them. The other thing is, all these baseball execs, with the exception of Nightingale, all these execs are like, Skeens isn't going anywhere. However, Scooble. Oh. Like, Scooble could be had. Passing, so, like, there's a lot of smoke around
there. Passive was like Skeens, no chance. Yeah. He's like Hunter Green, not far behind. He's like, Scooble's in play.
Scooble's in play.
Now, that doesn't mean the Red Sox get him. No. And I'm not telling you the Red Sox get him, but I would guess he moves. Ralph is in Cranston on Sonny Gray. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys, look, we all know if that's your number two pick guy, now pick it. They're no better. You know, they make a lot of mistakes. Trading deadline from 24 on has not been their key. You know, guys, you need a whole new, possibly a whole new infield. I mean, I don't want Bichette because you need a good fielding shortstop. To me, Story either has to see if he can play third or move him over to second. Casas is very important, too, because he has 35 home run potential. What's he going to do?
But yeah, you know, hit 35. Yeah, that's what he's going to do.
He's get hurt, probably.
A guy I really thought that they should possibly look at, because you have to trade some outfielders here, is Tyler O'Neill. They let him sign for small money, and when he's healthy, guys, he's a gold glove outfielder. Okay. He's a power guy.
All right, so Ralph likes Tristan Casas and
Tyler O'Neill
running back for 2 years.
Bring
ago.
That squad back.
Would you guys like to guess how many games Tyler O'Neill played last year?
33.
Actually, you're a little low.
43.
Keep going.
73.
Nope. 54 games.
54
games last year.
He probably did more interviews with Bradford last year than played in games.
54 appearances
and he hit
on baseball.
199 in those 54 games.
Yeah. How many dogs though?
Yeah. Well, they had a run. You can go back to Heim Blue. Remember, they would just find like Hunter Renfro, Duvall, Tyler O'Neill. They found a right-handed power stick.
Nine homers though in a third of the year.
Yeah.
Still like 30-ish home run pace. Yeah.
He was in.
Well, if you go by that, he had 9 2 years ago. He had 31 when he was here. He had 9 this year, so he's on pace for 30 next year.
Every other year guy? Well, you know what? Ralph and Cranston on to something. Go get Tyler O'Neill.
Was it one of those Red Sox documentaries that he was in?
Yes.
Where there was
it was the clubhouse where he had the hitting cage in his house?
Yes. And then they're like in his house, and it's just like, I mean, God bless him, but it's like him and his wife like just eat like lettuce and protein shakes. I'm like, that sounds miserable.
Yeah.
Like that sounds like his
wife was like pitching to him in the hitting cage?
Yeah. Intense.
Didn't seem like she loved life.
Well, who's to say?
I mean, you know, the guy makes
it. Blink twice if you're in trouble. But yeah, it wasn't for me. But no, I would probably pass on Tyler O'Neill. That is another part of this that we haven't really talked too much about recently.
The Tyler O'Neill part? We had not.
No.
That is one we had. Credit to Ralph and Cranston. That is one we had not brought
up in a while.
See,
I think their defense in the outfield is actually pretty great.
Me too.
You have Rafael and Abreu are both gold glovers, and then you have Roman Anthony, who I think will get better.
Duran had a horrible year defensively.
Yeah.
Was he a finalist 2 years ago?
He stinks in the outfield.
Or did he win it?
No.
Yeah.
Jaron Duran won a gold glove.
Didn't Duran win the gold glove 2 years ago?
Nick's our defensive metrics guy. Yeah, there's way he won a gold glove.
I think he did.
No. One-time All-Star, All-Star MVP.
Was he not a runner-up?
What? He shouldn't have been.
I think he was a finalist for the gold glove. Was he not?
I mean, I couldn't really speak to that. I know he does not own a gold glove. He's not been awarded a gold glove.
Hang on. Efforting. But you like their outfield defense.
Yeah, I do. But no, but what I was going to say is what we haven't factored in is...
He's a gold glove finalist in 2024.
Great.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter won a bunch of gold gloves. He was trash in the field.
I'm just telling you, their outfield defense in general has been very good.
No, I think it will be really good, so I'm not worried about that part, but I am curious as to what the return will be for Jaron Duran. Because if you're going to end up trading him, which all signs seem to be pointing towards Duran's being traded, is it just prospects? Is it a pitcher that could also go into your rotation? Is it a part of like a much bigger deal? Because that's one, I know this is a pipe dream, but with something like Scooble, a team might say, listen, we can't just take lottery ticket prospects. Like, we love that, and maybe those guys will develop into it. But we got to sell our fan base with, like, a guy or two.
A big leaguer.
That plays right away.
And some minor leaguers.
And maybe you could spin it that way. Like, hey, this guy was top 10 in the MVP a couple years ago.
Gold Glove finalist.
And apparently...
He was only a Gold Glove finalist because Raffaello was playing second base and shortstop. He wasn't playing center field.
I didn't say why he was a Gold Glove.
I just said
he was a Gold Glove.
And
finalist.
I just said that's not the best metric.
But I would throw that in the Tigers' face or whoever's trading for Duran. I'd be like, the guy, he had a down year hitting and fielding.
You want triples?
He was a Gold Glove finalist.
You love triples? You need like a triple giveaway?
You want a guy who should steal like 50 bags but somehow steals like 25? Yeah. That's your guy.
You want a guy that'll holler at the fans? He'll turn around and holler at the fans. He might even fight a fan here and there. You want that guy?
Oh, he's tried to fight some fans.
He'll climb the wall. He tried to climb the Green Monster once to fight a fan. About halfway up.
617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls here on Jones and Keefe. We will get to the Patriots. Tommy Curran thinks they could lose to the Giants.
That's what I heard.
I mean, he thinks they could lose 3 in a row.
He's not predicting it, but he wouldn't be surprised. That's that sweet spot of no real prediction.
He also thinks he'd take J.J. McCarthy over Drake May.
He loves J.J. McCarthy.
So we'll get to that at 11 o'clock. Would You Rather Wednesday, hashtag Dork Minute. We got Pure Hoops with Turk. We got a key for madness. We got the Jackson 5. Bozo touchdown parlay.
It's too much.
On Thanksgiving. But it's not all, Keefe. Rich Keefe.
Yeah.
Almost made the Real World.
So close.
Got a call back on Real World Denver?
I think it was Denver. It was like 06. MTV called my house.
Okay.
Called my house. House phone.
Let's get Keefe on Traders. He's applying.
I don't ask for much.
For season 5.
Yeah. The first normie season.
First normie season.
No fakes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrities next. College Tom is rocking out in the other
loving
studio.
It in there.
I got a text. All it said was banger exclamation point.
He shut the lights off, removed his pants. He's having a nice time in there. So that's great. So yeah, that is perfect for the Traders, Jones. So the Traders USA coming in 2026. So this is a reality show on Peacock, which they've pretty much taken like pseudo celebrities, like reality stars from like Bravo and like Big Brother, Survivor, Real World Challenge, throw them into a castle. And this is what it says about Traders.
Like, right, just to not gloss over that, like, yep, a real actual castle in Scotland.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Alan Cumming, the actor, is the host, and he's incredible. It actually won the Golden Globe, I believe, for best reality show last year.
Wow.
So The Traitors is a competition series built on strategy, suspicion, and deception. A team of players will compete in a series of missions. The more missions they compete successfully, the bigger the prize pot. However, hidden amongst the players are the traitors. The traitors meet in secret and decide who to eliminate from their fellow players, known as the Faithful.
Yeah.
The aim of the traitors is to stay undetected until the end. The aim of the Faithful is to banish all the traitors before the game ends. Throughout the series, there will be twists, turns, rigorous challenges, shocks, and surprises for the players.
So accurate. All of those things happen each and every season.
This
of the
is
traitors.
What I want to be on.
Okay.
This is.
I can't wait for the clown and snake challenge.
Now, hang on.
Okay, I didn't love that.
The trick is going to be,
out,
though,
maybe on the snake one. Yeah.
The trick is going to be, so this current season, they still have like Bravo celebrities,
yes,
and Donna Kelsey and
correct,
stuff.
Correct.
But coming up, they're going to open it up to, and you're shortchanging yourself, but you're saying normies.
Normies. Just regular Joes.
Just
ham and eggers.
Who walk amongst us.
Yep, okay. Bag of donuts.
So it's
going to be on this
it's
season.
It's open to everybody you want to apply.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to do that right now.
So what are you going to do to apply?
All right, so we have to fill out just a series of questions that are name, email, okay, date of birth, occupation. Radio host?
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Just put for parentheses for now.
Radio personality.
Radio personality.
Yeah, personality.
Oh, that's even better.
No, that's better.
Oh, that's real good. That's snapping it up.
Yeah, that's good. No, punch it up. Good job, Nick.
List of previous occupations.
Radio personality.
Radio personality?
Dale and Hollywood Keith.
I can't list all the shows. I don't think there's enough room for all the shows. Dale and Keith. Maybe you liked Gresham Keith. Maybe you liked Dale and Holly with Keith.
Yeah.
Maybe you
liked
the Adam
Keefe
Jones show.
Maybe you
liked the Rich Keefe. Oh, the Rich Keefe show.
Hardy and Troop. Creature. Maybe. Parentheses. Creature feature.
Creature feature.
Yeah, good.
I'll have to circle back to that one.
Okay.
Podcast guru?
Yeah, sure.
That's not bad.
Oh, yeah. You need the hashtag. You need the hashtag door podcast.
I also, I got to check my LinkedIn. I worked for a couple like digital like editing companies.
Wait, this is wild.
So no,
I remember this.
Yeah.
When we were all part timers, you had like a,
everybody had to have other jobs.
We all needed like actual jobs. Yes. Yeah.
This is a brag and a half, Nick. I would cut up inside the NBA. So I would go to like this building. I'd be the only one there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And so I'd watch inside the NBA. And then for like their website, you would cut it up to be like, here are just the game highlights. Here's just Charles. This is pre-Shaq. This is like Charles ripping a team or whatever. And then you'd tag everything so people could search quickly for like, oh, inside the NBA Celtics. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keywords and things like this. That was your job.
I don't know how I did that. If I tried to sit down in front of the computer and do that now, I'd have no clue.
But at the time.
Yeah, I did that.
You also were proficient.
Also worked in a warehouse in college selecting cigarettes.
Nice. What does that mean?
A lot of smoke. Meaning, like, people would make these big orders.
They tested them.
I would just sit there and smoke. I was, like, testing every smoke. I'm like, Camels, non-filtered.
You just, like, eyeball them?
All the Marlboros. Yeah, I was surrounded by cigarettes, and we would throw them in a box, and then we'd ship them off. So, like, company would be, like, a big store would be like, hey, we need, like, crates of, like, Marlboro Reds.
Those,
I'm your guy.
Hey, those fall off trucks now, and those are very valuable.
Oh, yeah.
That's currency in prison.
I should have. I never did.
Okay.
I think they knew I was not really a smoker.
All right, throw that on there so they know you're street smart.
All right.
Get that on there, too. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put all that in there.
Cigarette?
Selector.
Yeah, selector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you screwed up the order, you'd get called over the intercom.
Yeah.
They'd be like, cigarette selector Rich, come on down to the loop. I'm like, oh,
they just put cigarettes out on you.
Don't make that mistake. All right. So I won't put that on there. Please include any casting personnel that you've messaged with.
Oh, well, you
there's
know,
there's a whole bunch of names in here. Well, I didn't message any of these people.
That's probably less for the normies. That's more for like the Bravo celebrities are like in each other's DMs trying to bang each other. Like that's who that's for. Yeah.
All right. I'll put not applicable.
Yeah.
What are your social media handles?
All right. Get that on there.
All right. I can put those on there. Easy. Instagram. I'm not doing Facebook.
Get the hashtag.
X.
What do you mean
YouTube.
Not doing Facebook.
I don't know. I haven't been. My Facebook is dormant. I don't think I've been on Facebook in 10 years.
They can find the MTV application on there.
That's true. That might be buried in there somewhere. Yeah. All right, please upload a short video telling us anything interesting about yourself and why you want to be on the Traders. Would you rather be a faithful or a trader and why? What would your game plan be?
All right, so you need a video for this?
So let me ask you this. First of all, would I be better off as a faithful or a trader?
Well, what would be more fun is trader. What would you be better at? Probably faithful. Trader's super hard.
Trader would be really difficult. And these would be all people I don't know.
Trader is like, you have to, the hard part is not the lying. It's keeping all your lies straight. That's that's honestly really hard with all the people in the house to keep all your lies straight with different people.
Yes.
So what would you be better at? Probably faithful, but that'd be way more boring.
Faithful.
But you could get recruited at the end.
You could.
I could.
It could be a turncoat. A trader.
Get you a guy who can do both.
A trader amongst traders.
I could do either one is what I'm thinking. Mm. I could.
It's a bad pitch in your video though.
Either one?
Yeah.
Or is it like, hey, cast a wide net?
No, they asked you to pick. They're telling you to pick. Don't say I'll do either one.
It also says
they probably throw those right out. You can't even follow directions. They'll throw it right out.
Okay. It also says please do not include any personal or sensitive information in your video, like your address, date of birth, driver's license number, financial information, or any other person without their consent, which can be confirmed in writing.
Yeah, I don't.
Please avoid filming any children in your application video.
Oh,
so don't bring no kids and no social.
Cut me out of this. I don't want to be in this.
Put your phone in landscape mode. This is very specific. Sit somewhere quiet and well lit.
Wait, I thought
we used to not use a filter. Oh, so no duck lips.
I thought we were
can't go duck lips.
Dog faces.
I thought we were just gonna rip the video from Twitch.
We could do it.
All right, okay.
So we're gonna do it in portrait mode.
Yeah, Terp, get this in landscape mode.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Here's my pitch.
And get me out of it.
All right. Here's my pitch. Landscape mode.
I can't be in the video.
Yeah, all right.
Good.
I feel like I would be a very good faithful as well as a trader, but put me down for a faithful because I love a whodunit. I love the movie Clue. I love detective stories. Nancy Drew, Batman, you name it. I love all of that. I'm always sniffing crime. I would be out there and I would be firm with my thoughts. I wouldn't let anybody bully me around in the house. And if you need me to take my shirt off, I can do that too. Anything else?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Let the abs talk.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Let the pecs talk.
It just intimidate the rest of the house a little bit. You got to show up the first day on Traders, kick someone's ass.
Yeah.
Right, you do that, then they're like, "This guy."
Well, you gotta put
business.
That. You gotta put that in there for your plan.
Put that in the video.
Yeah, the first person, the biggest somebody. Guy in the house, I just punch him in the face.
Now,
a couple of seasons ago, who was the boxer that was in there? DeAndre Wilder.
DeAndre Wilder had a tough go because he accused somebody of being a traitor. They weren't. He then cried and quit. And he was like, "I'm sorry, I said that about you." He
was
like,
"What was it, like episode 3?" He was like, "I can't do this anymore."
The man cried and quit. Now I think there's something going on in that cage of his
scrambly eggs.
Yeah, I think something's going on upstairs. Yeah. But yeah, so that's that would be a tough one to run right in there and punch in the head.
I would not fight him.
Yeah, no. So you got to pick the second biggest.
Pick
guy
on
in
someone
that case.
Maybe really small,
right?
Somebody that you can handle.
Donna Kelsey,
like that guy. No, not Donna Kelsey. That guy that was the he was like in Parliament in England.
Yeah,
you rough that guy up a little bit.
He fell down in the woods a couple times. He just kept going. He might be a little stronger than he
thought.
He's
a gamer. They always pick like an English like nobleman.
Random.
Which I don't get why they're on the show.
One guy was like,
I always like him. I always like him.
The guy last year was like Kate Middleton's like third cousin. You're like, why is he here?
They're like, yeah, you kind of know like the royal family. He's like, well.
He's like, I was at Princess Di's wedding.
Yeah, he's like, but like, there were like 1,000 people in that. Like, I don't know him. But they wormed him onto the show. Anyway, they got the strong application.
So, all right. So I'll put myself, I guess, for faithful, because there's another section on here.
Twitch chat is pointing out, Keith, if you were trying to be a traitor, you need to cover up your tracks on crimes. You did not the greatest job of that with the Celsius I heard around the world.
Well, no. I did come clean, though. I'm an honest.
Well, yeah, but that's, so maybe I'm, no, that's maybe my faithful.
Well, I was going to say, but that gets you real, killed. You'd be real bad at the round table.
That gets you killed as a traitor.
Yeah, I
did do that.
I'd be terrible at the round table. I'd be like red face. Like.
I'm telling you, everybody wants to be a traitor on that show, but even like Boston Rob, who's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
As like a
he was good, but then he was kind of too good.
No, but he's as a reality TV star, like I feel like that's a guy who gets it. He's a gamer. Like I think he understands all this stuff. Even he like couldn't keep track of all of his lies, and he was getting tripped up, and like even good liars, I think it's being a traitor is very difficult. What?
Somebody said, guys, not to body shame, especially before Thanksgiving, but with all the physical challenges, traitors, the way Keith Stoudemire jersey shrunk, is this a smart idea?
No, it's good you did this.
Well, I won't bring the Damon Stoudemire jersey.
It was good
obviously.
You filmed it.
I don't
you
know. The people on those physical challenges aren't.
Oh, they're not very.
No.
This is
no,
not
this
a physical
is not
show.
MTV
this
challenge.
Is not a physical
There's
show.
There's not ultramarathoners
it's like
on this.
Running up a hill.
No, but
Keith. Passing out.
Keith, you did. It was like me going down the hallway.
It was.
You look like you kind of look like Burrow in that Cavs jersey, though, in that Stoudemire jersey. It's snug.
It was tight.
But you did. But you applied
don't
before.
Don't try it. Don't good, put it in the dryer.
Good point about the text line, though. You applied before Thanksgiving.
I did.
Don't apply Friday.
No.
We got this in there.
It'll be a nightmare.
All right, so send this in. You got to fill out some other information, right?
I do. I got a lot of information. I got to get that video. I got to get a headshot. And I also need a full-length picture, which are they suggesting?
Nice.
Like Porky Pig? Just t-shirt on, nothing else.
You guys said full-length.
He said full-length.
Yeah.
There it is. You're gonna have to zoom.
It was a bit cold.
You can zoom it.
It was a bit cold. No, I'm lying. It was 80 degrees
hot.
In here.
Yeah, it was warm
hot
as could be.
There.
Honestly, it was a little too warm.
All right,
so there you go.
Chance. I think you're in the look.
Yeah,
you got a call back from MTV. I probably would have found a way to work that into the application.
Yeah,
but okay.
Right.
But
yeah,
you know, maybe you don't want to turn them off.
No.
So okay, let's get that application in the mail. We'll see if Keith makes season 5 of Traitors.
Fingers crossed, guys.
Fingers crossed. I feel good about it. 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran does not feel good about the Patriots and the Giants game. In fact, not the next month for the Pats. 3 games in that month. Should we be nervous at all about this game? Let's get to it with your phone calls next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.